Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Starting
Let's
Nine.
Let's go!
Bonus pod, episode 171. We have Matt Barnes of the Boston Red Sox. We have Patrick Corbin of the World Series champion Washington Nationals. Sorry about it. Really cool interview. It's a little bit different from what you're probably used to. We're talking about a little charity gaming thing that they've got going on this Saturday. Saturday is what? The fucking 16th? I don't know what day it is anymore.
It's a day for sure.
It's definitely a day. It's Saturday. So we'll have that interview a little bit later. But first, I don't know if you saw this video, Dallas. So I think it was Nick Hamilton, who does a lot of audio and video for KFC Radio, tagged me in a video of Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Basically vocalizing what a lot of other players are thinking right now. And I quote tweeted the video and I said, Blake Snell saying what a lot of other players are thinking right now. I agree with him 1000%, and I'd feel the exact same way if I were in his position. Good for him for saying it. As of right now, I posted the tweet 4 hours ago. That tweet has 953 replies. Replies.
Did you get ratioed?
I don't know. I mean, it has 5.3 thousand likes and 850 retweets, but 953 replies.
No.
People had takes on takes on takes.
None of them good.
I don't know. Honestly, how do people that tweet about politics and real world issues, how do they do that every day? How do you go on the internet and subject yourself to just people that are fucking angry all the time? All the time.
Jared, that's what happens with angry people. They just yell at each other and there's no progression of a conversation. You don't get to an end point, right? Like, and that's
I have my opinion. You have your opinion. We're not arguing about facts here. It's just like how I feel versus how you feel.
Right.
I'm trying to convince you about like my opinion so that I can convert you. You're trying to convert me. So instead, we're just going to yell at each other and everyone's going to be angry. And then we're going to go to bed all pissed off.
Hot dogs, water buffaloes, pennies, and ice cream cones. Like, I could just say that stuff in response to whatever it is you say, and it would mean and carry the exact same weight because we're just people are just talking at each other. That's all they're doing. You're making noise. Let me stop making noise so that you can make noise, and then I'll make noise when you're done. Like, there's no listening going on during that time. And that's what becomes very frustrating. Because there's always, you know, I say this about the internet. You can go on the internet and somewhere, somebody is going to tell you why water isn't wet. And you can find that, right? And
well, it's not.
And that's just how that machine works. So when folks are getting riled up about, because it's easy to get riled up about money. It's easy to get riled up about money. And what folks fail to do is, this is what happens. Why are they mad at the player, Jared? And this is my honest opinion. Why do people get mad at the player who's making the money they're making? In my opinion, it's because the player is closer to the average Joe, and the average Joe is closer to attaining maybe what that player has as opposed to what the billionaire owner has. Does that make sense? So it's like they don't even see themselves as the billionaire owner, but they can see themselves as the millionaire player. And if they had the opportunity to make the millions or the millions on the dollar or the pennies on the dollar, what they're doing is they're taking themselves in their specific life situation at that point in time. And then they're saying, oh, well, I would do that. I would do that. No, you would do that in the position you're in right now. And you know what? Yeah, you're right. Everybody would. But if you were in Blake Snell's position, mm-hmm. having done what you have done to get to that point, and that's the reality that you're living in, you would not. But I can't get you to understand that because you don't want to understand what it's like to be in a position like that to where you can actually say no to $500,000
sure.
or no to $5 million. You would never do that. Nobody would ever think that they would want to do that. But if your reality becomes that, well, now you have to start living in that reality. And that's Blake Snell's reality.
Yeah. So let's play the audio real quick. I just want to get the audio out there for anyone that hasn't seen or heard what Blake was saying. And then we can kind of give some takes on the other side of that.
Y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, it's, yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I make is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? Like, you know, I'm sorry.
So, like, I saw that, I reacted to it, and I was like, yeah, I agree with what he's saying. And there were some parts of it that people were picking apart, being like, oh, you're risking your life. And people were trying to say that he's not actually risking his life, which is not true. I mean, like, we don't know. Like, all these fucking medical experts on Twitter, they're just like, no, he'd be fine because of the statistics and thing like that. We don't know that.
How easy is it for these people to gamble with somebody else's life?
Exactly.
Pretty
yeah,
easy.
There's that. And then, so here's the thing that really irritates me. Like when people are like, oh, you're defending these fucking millionaires and you're defending, like, aren't you a baseball fan? Don't you want to see baseball come back? Of fucking course I want to see baseball come back, but I want the players to get paid and I want them to be safe in the process of doing that. So like let's break it down because we talked about this on the last podcast, but I feel like it's not getting through to some people.
It won't get through.
And like, so we're already in mid-May. So if you're getting a prorated contract, you're getting paid like $30 million and you're starting in July, you're going to get paid like $15 million and like because it's a prorated salary. And now on top of that, what the players agreed to, they were fine. The players agreed to getting prorated salaries. The players were like, "Sure. Like, you know, if I'm owed 30 and we play half a season, give me 15 because that's all I actually work. Done deal. That's fair." Then the owners are coming back saying, well, if we put the season back on and we got to send these players out there and then we got to pay them, but then we got to have all these other costs, well, now we're going to lose money. So can you guys actually take less money than the less money that you were already taking? That's why the players are pushing back.
Yeah, it's a power move. It's bullshit. It's an absolute horseshit move by the owners because at no point in time do we circle back. I said this on the radio the other day. You don't call me and revisit what I've just done at the All-Star break after I've dominated in the first half. We don't revisit that contract situation. No. That's not something that happens. So at what point, like all of this is all just about the owners. And I don't know what happened. Did they wake up one day and realize, holy shit, that's right. We actually make money on people showing up and people buying beers and eating pretzels. We forgot that they make money on that. And so now you want to go back on that and act like what? act like that wasn't your reality before you came to this agreement? Did you not have the foresight, or you've not been watching these god-awful press conferences? Where have you been that you haven't understood what's going on? Like, what the fuck did you not see coming? Did you actually think we weren't going to let people meet in mass, but they were going to allow 30,000 people to come to your fucking baseball stadium and watch your team play? That's what you thought was happening? If you're an owner, you're an idiot for that. There was nothing about this that should have surprised you. There, like, seriously, if you or your representation didn't realize that this is what was coming, you better look in the mirror and find somebody else to start steering your ship.
And the other thing too, I hate when people, fans, try to compare what's going on in Major League Baseball to like what's going on in their life. I'm like, well, I had to go back to work and I had to take a reduced salary and this and that to go back to work. And it's like, okay, but all due respect to you and the ego that you clearly have, but if you chose to not go back to work, they would find someone else to replace you and life goes on and you're collecting unemployment. That's not going to happen. Why the fuck are people beeping outside of my house right now? I fucking live in the goddamn mountains. What the fuck is this? Like a goddamn parade out here. Anyways, people can be replaced in your average Joe Jobs. They're not just going to replace people in Major League Baseball. That's why the players, and Adam Jones tweeted about this, now's your time to speak up because you guys have leverage. Like, if the players don't play, they're not going to send replacement players out there. They need to come to an agreement with the players and what they are owed. Like, I think they're – if you're a fan, you have to see it as what this boils down to. Who should be taking a loss here? Millionaire baseball players or billionaire baseball owners?
And let's just remember, fans, the reason that you don't have any sort of idea of a baseball season and what it looks like right now is not because the players don't want to play. That's not what's going on here. We're having this conversation because the owners, after signing on the dotted line, then for whatever reason realized, oh, you know what? It doesn't seem like that deal or that agreement is advantageous to us. We've actually run the math again, and we're going to be wearing it, and we don't like that. So what we're going to do is we'll put it back on the players, and we'll make it look like we're the victims here, because what person in America wants to operate a business at a loss? So Americans all over the world, especially in the time we're in right now, will get on board with us, the billionaires, because we're just business owners just like they are, trying to provide a service, trying to provide a product. And you know what's scary, Jared, is society's like, yeah, man, I'm with those folks. Mm-hmm. I'm with those billionaires. Poor fucking billionaires. Can you imagine what their life's going to be like?
Poor fucking billionaires.
When they operate at a loss this year? I can't believe it, man. I wish those millionaire players would really see the writing on the wall
here. Suck it up and bring us some hope.
Like, do they need to hang out with their families? Do they need to see their children? What's a little Rona under the armpits if they can't? I mean, come on. No big
deal. And then the other thing, too, here is that, like, the billionaire owners are going to be billionaire businessmen forever. For the rest of their lives, they will be billionaire businessmen. Will these athletes that you're asking to just take significantly less money, will they be millionaire baseball players forever? Is that going to be their income forever? No. Like, a lot of these guys, it's like they come in, they make their money as a player, then they ride off and like that's it. Like, they've got to make their money while they can make their money. Like, this is a window of time where you've got a Major League Baseball player who, I think the average, what is the average like length of a major league career, like fucking 4 or 5 years or something like that.
I was going to say, like, I thought it was like 3 years, 3 or 4 years, somewhere.
Yeah. Around here. I mean, you go in, you make your money while you can, and you try and stock up, or else you're going to end up on a fucking podcast with a blogger who's 31 and sleeps in his mom's basement. You don't want to still be working when you're in your mid 30s, retired. You want to be able to make your money and ride off into the sunset. Some of these guys, they're not going to be able to do that. Some of these guys are going to have to get a podcast after they're retired. They don't want to do that shit.
Poor bastards. Poor, you better count. You better take care of them chickens.
That's what I'm saying.
Take care of them. But seriously, the only solution I can see to this, Jared, is if the union and the owners come together on some sort of abbreviated one-time only type of financial agreement. Other than that, what the owners are trying to do is basically what you do in Congress when you're passing a bill and you want to throw some crazy, shady, super like undercover shit onto that bill to get it through at the very last minute. You're like, oh, this is, you know, this bill is to make sure that people have clean water. But also it gives us the right to like kick your front door down and check shit if we need to. It's like, well, we didn't see that coming, but here it is. So yeah. Unless they can come to some sort of one time only for this year, for this instance agreement, and then we move back to how things were the next year, I don't see this, man.
Yeah. So yeah, if anything breaks over the weekend, you might get a double bonus pod. This bonus pod is brought to you by Blake Snell. And the interview that we have coming up here with Patrick Corbin and Matt Barnes. Yeah, if something happens over the weekend, we ain't got shit else to do. Might as well just pop in the lab and bring you another bonus pod. So hopefully there's something to talk about. If not, we'll see you at our normally scheduled time next week. But Dallas, Jay Hay, hope you have a great weekend. And we'll take you into the – are we doing Twitter questions? We want to do Twitter questions?
Yeah, let's do a few.
All right, we'll do some Twitter questions on the other side of this this interview with Matt Barnes and Patrick Corbin.
The lasty.
All right, we got Matt Barnes and Patrick Corbin podcast together, a duel. I didn't even know that you guys knew each other. How do you even know each other?
I mean, like, we got officially acquainted like a week and a half ago.
Okay.
Lifelong friends.
Call of Duty charity tournament that we're running. I went to my agency with this idea that was actually my brother's. We were planning to came up with the idea. I was like, that's a great idea. So I went to the agency, and they kind of loved the idea and started getting rolling on it. And then Patrick called in like 2 days later and was like, hey, I want to do something like this with the Call of Duty tournament. Next thing you know, we partnered up to take this thing on.
So who else is it? Like, I know JD's in it. He stinks. He stinks at Call of Duty. Who else is in it?
We got Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Trey Turner, who built his own computer. So I'd be really on him if you want to win.
Wow.
And Ryan Zimmerman, who I helped set his up. So he's probably the one that you stay away from. But
Zim is dead money.
Yeah, Zim's in there. Pete Alonso's going to play. Pedro. I think Nimmo's playing. There's 16 guys, some pretty big names, so it's gonna be fun.
Is Soto any good? I feel like he's probably like the
he's fucking 15, Jared. That's all he does is play video games. He's absolutely good.
I feel like he's got like the Leroy Jenkins of the group that's just gonna go rogue and try and just go Rambo on everybody.
I always see him on there. I have his Xbox account, so he's on there all the time playing. So
Dude, I thought about this. What would you rather do? Given the ability to regenerate at the end of it, given the ability to hobble away from it, okay? Would you rather be a virtual soldier who feels all of the shots, all of the nade bombs? You feel all of that, but at the end of your life cycle, you can walk away from it. Or would you rather be a virtual player, like a virtual football player? Where you're running the rock 42 times, CTE, broken legs, like the Greg Jennings Packer highlight video where he's 99 yards hobbling down the fucking field with a blown hammy. But you're going to be okay after it. What would you rather, as a gamer, what would you rather bear the brunt of and feel but be okay on the other side?
Oof. I'm hooked on this Call of Duty, so I got to go there.
Duty.
Yeah, I'm losing sleep over it. I'm in bed like, oh, why did I throw that C4? I missed the C4 right there, and I just died. I was so mad. Like, I lose so much sleep over it. My wife hates me for it, but.
Oh, my God.
Part of it, man.
Yeah, you're clearing houses in your sleep.
I'm watching gamers now, which I never thought I'd ever do, and it's really – I enjoy it.
Who's your go-to?
I actually got to play the other day with Tim the Tap Man. He's got like 3 million followers. We had 40,000 people watching us. He's from Syracuse as well. So, I mean, he was a riot. We had a blast.
Dude, what's that comparison like? Because look, you boys are taking the bump in front of 40, 50,000 screaming people, telling you how good you are, telling you how terrible you are. Now there's a different dynamic shift, right? Because you've got those same fucking eyeballs on you, but they are on what you're like, what you're doing on the screen, your efficiency, you know, are you circling back like an asshole? Are you running around?
That, but when you're a baseball player, it's like the people that are screaming at you don't even have one millionth of the talent that you have. Mm-hmm. But when you're playing video games, like the people that are chirping you, they're like, I could potentially do better than
they're better than telling. Yeah. Exactly. These kids have bad times and they're better than you.
We played with Tim in this in the Nade shot. So they both had thousands of followers watching them, and we didn't start off very well. We were losing, and they were like, this is like if we invited Trey played with me as well. So they're like, if we invited Trey and Pat to a celebrity softball game and we lost every game with them on our team, this is what it's like right now. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, like, I'm curious, like, Pat, like, what's the most popular game in the Nats clubhouse? And then I'm assuming, like, the Red Sox clubhouse, I'm assuming, like, Fortnite is still king. Like, they're not – they haven't even come off that. It's, like, 3 years old.
Not really. I mean, in 2018, we did our fair share of gaming in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I think Eddie and Bogey are still big on Fortnite.
Yes.
I saw Jackie online the other day. He was playing PUBG still.
not to judge.
Like, all right. I didn't know that. I thought they got rid of that game. Evo is still big in Fortnite. I mean, I don't think anybody's really gotten off it.
Yeah.
Not that I'm out on it, but I went back and I played like two games the other day. And I started fighting some dude, and he, like, built up, triple edited down, and, like, got one pumped in the head, and I was like, I'm out.
I'm good.
That's why, like,
I'm so average now.
Yeah, and, like, you saying that you're average, like, you're probably significantly better than someone that would just randomly pick it up. And, like, Eddie has been on my ass all, like, quarantine about getting into Fortnite. And I was like, yeah, like, I got to buy this, and I got to buy that. And, like, I bought everything that I need. But, like, those dudes play so much. If you are an entry level player,
you're done.
You're an inconvenience to everyone. Like, people take gaming so seriously to where, like, if I come in and I'm just trying to learn, like, I mean, I'm just trying to learn, I'm just trying to contribute to the squad, and you are now ruining these individuals' days. So, like, I'm just not, I just choose not to do it.
You're the kid on the field in elementary school. Like, when you get handed the bat, you're the kid who grabs the bat with your hands way too far
like
apart.
A hockey stick.
Like, yeah, I can. I'm good. And they're like, oh fuck, no, he's not on our team. He's not on our team.
Yeah, I'd rather sit out than try to play at all and just drag everybody down. Because I feel like I would be much better at Call of Duty. Like with Fortnite, you're building shit. There's fucking closing in walls. Like I don't get it.
The building's the hardest part.
Yeah. Like just give me a gun and like, all right, shoot that guy.
Done so deal. You guys more shooters or sports? Because look, a lot of I played the show, I played MVP, I played all that shit even when I was playing. That's not always the case for other guys. A lot of dudes are like, bro, I can't handle a fucking baseball video game. I'm out on that. So is it more like role players, first person shooters, sports, combo of both? What are we working with?
I play Madden a little bit, but mostly Call of Duty is what I've been. But I this is like my first season or off season, whatever you call this, where I'm playing video games.
Right, so where your balls deep.
I'm hoping I'm not going to get addicted to it, but I feel like I
have. Oh, bro, you're already gone. If you're
your wife is already having issues. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's already a conversation topic at the dinner table, you're gone. It's one of those things where you don't even realize that you're in it until you're just too far gone.
Do you this one? When you hit the button on the controller to turn on your PS4 or whatever it is, and you hear that, does your wife, does her head just fuck? She just snaps. She hears that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know when the door gets shut, I'm being too loud. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, Barnes built, like, the man cave downstairs. Like, you, how big are your TVs? Because I was told as a rookie, I was told that a bigger TV is actually worse for gaming. Like, how is that possible?
I play on a monitor. So I had last year. I had this great idea last year that I wanted to try do PC gaming. So I had a PC built, and I got this dual monitor set up in the whole nine, and I played like three games on it and realized that it is – that it's way – my skill level is not there. I'm a controller guy.
Yeah, that is way too aggressive. We're talking like water-cooled fucking engines down below. You're like, that's way too much.
Yeah, I was watching these guys on Fortnite, and I'm like, bro, they're so good, but it's so much easier on the controller because they've got all of this. Mm-hmm. And then I got on to do it and didn't realize that to walk, you have to push like four buttons at once. And I was like, I'm out.
That's like learning the typing home keys like times.
Yeah, it's like one is straight, another button is to go right, another button is to go left, and I was like, this is too much. So then I took my controller and I plugged it into the PC, and I just play controller through PC now.
Got it. Okay. I mean, like, it's just like, what's better about the PC? Is it just like the graphics are better or what?
It's faster, so the refresh rate is faster, and you've got a wider angle to see. So like, there's things like when I come around a corner that might not render on a console, or you can't see as quickly, but I can see on a PC because the games are built, because it's, I don't know, the computer is stronger than an Xbox.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so when you're playing and you're feeling like, fuck, I feel like he shot me and I did not even see him. That's exactly what happened. And you want to know what I do to combat that feeling?
Yeah, because the PC guy can see you before you actually see him.
And that's horseshit.
And you're like, well,
and that's what. So what I do is I really even the playing field by plugging my wireless controller in. Yes. So now I feel like, I'm on the same level as these guys that have a fucking water cooled engine underneath their desk.
I think we're virtually all like around the same age. What video games did you guys grow up on? Like, what video game could you plug in now from your childhood and be confident that you would just absolutely still dominate it?
I saw that Tony Hawk is coming back.
Yeah,
is it really?
Yes, it is.
One and two in high def.
Oh my
no!
God. Yes, I will.
That soundtrack is one of the best of all time.
The soundtrack is epic. I will spend no less than 72 straight hours getting completely baked and making the longest fucking course in human history. Please give me a skate park creator, and I am fucking done. I'll check back in when my daughters graduate. They're two and one right now. Mm-hmm. High school graduation, I'll be there rocking my Tony Hawk van. Oh, dude, I am so fucking confident.
Yeah, they would have to bring back like the original soundtrack, though. Like, if you're gonna do that, you need the original soundtrack and all like the same levels.
What was your favorite trick move in Tony Hawk, if you guys remember? Mine was Air Priest. I'll start it off.
I'll start it off.
The first time I saw that move get pulled, I was like, he's gonna die. This is where my virtual skater hits his head and is done. Like, they're gonna have to peel him off, and now I gotta be bucking.
Is that the one where like he just like takes a skateboard onto the side? Like,
yes,
yeah,
and just
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah.
it's great. It's yeah. outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a big Madden 95 guy on Sega.
95.
Yeah. I don't. Do you guys know the code to get the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars for Sega? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me learn you something here. You just mash the A, B, and C button on your Sega controller all at the same time, right? Just keep mashing them at the same time. And then you'll hear John Madden's voice and he'll go, pow. And when you hear him say, pow, you now have the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers. Each and every one of those players is a fucking 99. So we would play, me and my buddy would play an entire season in one night and like accumulate, you know, like fucking 30,000 rushing yards, just stupid shit, because you could score on every single play. It's fucking amazing. So I would be the Panthers or the Jaguars.
Yeah. So then besides Tony Hawk, then what was your game growing up?
Who are you talking to, me?
No one cares about your fucking Atari.
Halo 2.
Halo 2.
Got it. I bought an Xbox for Halo 2.
Yeah, but you would have been for Halo, you would have been in high school, right?
Like early high school, like freshman, sophomore year of high school.
Yeah. So I mean, like, you weren't doing N64?
I mean, before that, it was like Need for Speed on PlayStation.
Yes.
Hot Pursuit.
Need for Speed. I mean, I'll even go back. I used to play, I mean, you're talking about, I grew up playing like Ratchet and Clank or Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal was the shit.
Yes,
Twisted Metal does not get enough credit. Like, so I was ahead of the curve because everyone now is like, how could you just sit there and watch other people play video games? Like, why wouldn't you just play them yourself? The answer to that question is I'm not very good at like anything. So I would watch my best friend play Twisted Metal and he would basically just be like, all right, like, who do you want me to beat the game with? Like, who do you want to see like the end, like video clip with? And then he would just like beat it with every single person because I would want to see like the meeting with Calypso at the end.
So you're like the original video game cuck.
I would say I'm the original like Twitch viewer. Yes. Yeah. I was the first Twitch viewer before there was Twitch. I just wasn't good at it. And I'm, like I said, not very good at many things. Not a single N64 game mentioned.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Mario Go-Kart, I would think.
Yeah, like Mario Kart, GoldenEye, Mario Party.
Oh, GoldenEye. I forgot that one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, Jared, so give it to him, Jared. Give it to him. I've never seen Jared even play this game. And based on the shit that is coming out of his mouth, I feel like as his partner here, I would have to be willing to put up like the naming of my child or like one of the pink slips to my vehicles.
Yeah. So we did at like house parties when I was in like late high school, early college, I would do like the 10-0 ass tattoo challenge where we would have GoldenEye at the house and I would tell you, I can kill you 10 times before you can kill me once. And if I do that, then you have to get my signature tattooed on your ass, and there are several Saugus natives with my signature tattooed on their ass because I mean everyone thinks that they're good at GoldenEye until they step into the box, and it's just I mean I can't wait. I don't know if I still have my N64 at my parents. Maybe I'm gonna have to dig that up. I bet you there's one here somewhere. There has to be.
So it's the only game you're good at?
It's the only game I'm good at. And my MVP 05.
Okay.
Yeah, MVP 05, GoldenEye. And then like maybe like Modern Warfare 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I was
some digging. Jared's a caveat guy. We got another caveat guy, a part of our podcast too, but Jared caveats, you know, I'm good at this. If I'm good here, if we have this in place, like
if the weather is like this, got to have a good dew point.
That's where Jared nails shit. So you guys have done, obviously you've done the legwork to get guys across the league involved in this tournament. And this isn't just to have fun. This isn't just to kick it and bullshit, which is a great time. But this is for a cause, right? We've got money going to places. We've got money that is helping people out, which is a huge thing, especially right now, right? Can you guys just kind of talk about the importance of doing stuff like this, not only for the entertainment value, but also, you know, you're bringing something to the table. You're not just dicking around playing video games.
Yeah, I think nowadays it's hard to come up with ways and I thought this was just a cool idea to get fans to have a chance to play and do something with some of their favorite players and from home and raise some money to a lot of good charities. A lot of these guys have their own charities, which money will go to. And I think another big thing that we do miss is the competition. So this is going to be fun for us as well to maybe have some bragging rights and talk some crap while we're playing. But it seems like it's going to be a fun group, and I think this auction ends tomorrow night. So hopefully the bids keep coming in, and looking forward to playing Saturday.
Yeah, you mentioned the auctions. Folks, you can go to www.32auctions.com/COD Warzone Charity Royale. You have the ability to play that over, so I won't repeat it again, but I promise you, you hit that link and you're going to be able to be a part of what these dudes are doing right now. If you're not on the team, if you're not in the game with them, you can still ride with them, and you go to that link right there and you can become a part of it. That's a big deal. We've got charities like No Kid Hungry, Pros for Heroes, the Florida Mental Health Coalition, Samaritan's Purse, Louisville YMCA, Sufficient Grace, and Homers for Heroes with a bunch of others. So this is really cool to see, fellas, because a lot of times during times like this, you start to think about yourself, and it's easy and understandable to become selfish in a time like this, but that is not the case. So it's really cool not only to see you guys bringing the game together, but bringing fans into what you guys are doing. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal.
Should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. I mean, you see a lot of these video game tournaments in which you have to be like good enough to compete with somebody. You have to win this to move on, play with an athlete or a streamer or whatever. This kind of gives anybody the opportunity to play with any one of the guys that are playing with us, right? So it was just kind of a little bit of a different twist on something like this to not only raise money for charity, but at the same time have some fun doing it.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. So balls on the line. Who's the guy in the clubhouse? If there was an Olympic style video game scenario set up, who's the one guy in the clubhouse that you're like, yeah, he can do it. First person shooters. He could do it in the sports games. This is my guy that I'm sending to the video game Olympics.
It's got to be Trey Turner for us.
Well, yeah, he built his own damn computer.
Yeah, he's always playing FIFA. He's playing COD. He plays Fortnite. He's got it all. So he lives in the same neighborhood as me, so I was able to go over there and see it. He's got two computer screens. He's got two monitors. Or whatever you call them, systems. Is he not
a big streamer? Is he like a huge Twitch presence?
We're gonna all stream it. I don't know if he's got a lot of followers, but he might.
I just think that it's crazy that there's so many people. Like you're talking about, you're dropping Tatman, right? 3 million followers, and some people have no idea who these people are, and these people have 3+ million followers watching them play video games at home on their computer. Like you pull up somebody's Twitch channel on your phone. You're not watching highlights of Matt Barnes or Patrick Corbin punching out the side. You're watching Tatman decapitate some asshole who's running around in the gulag. Like, what the fuck?
I went from owning zero gaming equipment. Now I got this like chair. I got the monitor. I got the desk.
Oh, dude. You got the electric blue underlighting.
I was playing on, playing on a 90-inch TV. I thought that was best, and then no, you got to get the monitor. So now I'm learning.
I can't.
I'm fucking excited to like get set up on my like 75-inch, and then everyone was like, "Dude, you're a pussy. You don't even know how to play video games, bro. Like it's got to be on a monitor." I'm like, "What the fuck?
Yeah,
like, this TV is nice." And they're like, "No, that's not how you do it."
Yeah, you can't tell me that each one of you dudes, the minute you walked into that big league stadium for the first time, one of the thoughts in your head is, Madden would be so fucking cool on a Jumbotron. God, that would be awesome. And now here we are, and you're like, no, do you have an iPad I could hook this up to? I'd really like to condense my visual line of sight here. I'm going to need to be able to see around the corner. I've got the guys with the water coolers. That are, fuck, stop.
Yeah, I can't do it. Who's the guy in the Red Sox clubhouse that you would send?
I think pre-trade, and I think I can only say this because we haven't had a season yet.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he's on the team, on the Dodgers, obviously, but technically Price. Haven't started yet. So probably Price.
Yeah. Price is a big-time gaming nerd.
Big-time gamer.
Yeah. How's JoJo? Is he not as good as he says he is?
No, Joe's a good player. Joe's a good player. I don't know how versatile he is in the video game world. I know he's pretty good at Fortnite. Yeah. He to me just seems like he's just got like a second gear. You know what I mean? Like he gets it. Mm-hmm. Like he gets the video games.
Well, it's a mindset thing. It's a state of mind. You get locked in and it's go time.
You know? Right. If I had to choose a guy who's actually on the team right now, probably Evo. Evo is really good.
What's his go-to?
He's a big Fortnite guy.
Yeah.
But he understands, like same thing. He understands the video games. Gets it.
I mean, I was so close to getting into it. I was so close.
You were there.
I had everything. I even had like the camera to stream. And then I was like, you know what? Saugus is calling. Just gotta head on home to my mom's basement. So
hey, before we let you guys go, and again, thank you guys for taking the time here. But PC, I got something I wanted to hit you on, man, because obviously what's going on in the world is affecting kids in high school, kids at the collegiate level. A lot of kids are kind of looking around going, bro, what do I do? What do I do right now? Baseball is gone. They're looking for avenues. They're looking for routes to take that are different than what they've been forced to take at this point. Junior college. I am a huge proponent of junior college. You have experienced the JUCO route. Can you just explain why junior college for you was a choice. Maybe it was a choice that you didn't have much choice in early on. I was in that boat as well. But the difference in your mind from being forced to go to junior college and accepting what junior college can offer?
Yeah, so being from upstate New York, I didn't have as many looks as some of these guys out in Arizona or some of these bigger California places where scouts are there all the time. And I really had nothing out of high school. I loved playing baseball, loved playing basketball. So I just stayed in Syracuse, went to a smaller junior college there.
Mohawk, right?
And that summer I played on a travel team, and that was kind of when things picked up for me, where I probably could have went to multiple schools. And we basically just looked up to try to find the best junior college in the country and spoke to the coach there, and ended up at Chipola. But I don't know if I'd be here without that. I had some offers that summer to sign with teams. I remember I had a workout with Philly. Just glad that I turned that down and went to the junior college route. But I mean, some of these players are the most talented players in college, and I want to say Chipola's had the most big leaguers active the last couple of years that are still playing. So I think that's pretty impressive to have a junior college lead all of Major League Baseball and active players.
No, that's incredible. And the reason I wanted you to talk about it, dude, is because, like I said, I've been getting hit up with questions about, you know, how to evaluate what the future looks like. What do you think I should do? And I just think it's great to hear, especially, you know, they can hear it from me, somebody who's been there, done that. But somebody who's been there, done that, and has still got the spikes on right now can really resonate with these guys. And a lot of them are hung up on getting that D1 look, right? Having that D1 shine on you. And I was one of those guys who wanted it, but I also understood what the road I was on, what it could do for me. And I just, as much as I can offer perspective to our listeners, I want to take the opportunity to do so, because we do reach a large group of people who are at that point in their life and in their career where they're like, you know, decision-making is very real and they're looking for some advice. So to hear it from guys who have been there and done that is a big deal. So I appreciate you sharing that, man. I'm just trying to get folks to understand that junior college really is a launching pad. It's not just a stepping stone.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. JUCO dude's blowing 105 from the fucking left side. It's stupid. Unbelievable.
Insane.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Insane.
One last time, plug the event, let the folks know where they can see it, where they can get involved. I will be watching, definitely not participating.
I don't know if they have the link, guys, but it is, again, you go to www.32auctions.com, COD Warzone Charity Royale. That is the link to the website that you can bid on. This is going to go down from 12 to 3. Eastern, live on Saturday. On, you can go to PC's Twitch account, you can go to Matty B's Twitch account. They're both going to be streaming it, pumping it out there for you. So please tune in, make a donation, and just watch some fucking blood spill. That's what we're here for.
That's 12 to 3 is right around the time that my mom told me to clean my room, so now I have an excuse to not do it. All right, big thanks to Matt Barnes and Patrick Corbin for taking the time to swing by Starting Nine, both of their debuts. I know Matt has a dog. I don't know if Corbin does, but Matt has a dog. Callie is the name, and she is 1,000,000,000% worthy of the Starting Nine dog calendar. So that eligibility is going to kick in the next time.
Yes, let's do it.
Jay Hay.
Here we go. A few Twitter questions. Yes or no? This will function as our bonus bring in the cheese segment. Yes or no, cheese in a meatloaf? If so, what kind? I'm a Swiss cheese and spinach guy.
I don't think
you're a goddamn lunatic. In your meatloaf? I'm not even going to get any further into offering a substitute, or I just need to offer you a completely different recipe. Maybe I need to offer you a different significant other, because whoever is making that meatloaf with cheese and giving it to you hates you.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever had cheese in a meatloaf before.
I don't think I have either, actually.
No, because you two are you're somewhat normal human beings.
Yeah, yeah. Somewhat. Emphasis on the somewhat.
Been a long time since I've had a meatloaf, too, though.
Yeah.
Don't I've let also your meatloaf.
I'm on the weirder side of the spectrum as it pertains to food choices, but
yeah, true.
Yeah, but no, I've never had cheese and meatloaf.
Jared, are you flattered or scared that someone got a rocket tattooed on their arm simply because you tweeted back at them?
Just another day at the fucking office. You know what I mean?
I hear it. Do you believe Terry Francona's comments about MJ being able to make it to the show?
With 1,500 at-bats?
Yeah, so just as a – if he got 1,500 at-bats, just as a frame of reference, he got almost 500 plate appearances at AA. And he slashed 202, 289, 266, which is a 556 OPS. We call that Tebowian in modern nomenclature.
I'm going to go with a hard no. A hard nip.
I think he would have made it. So here's the thing. He was, what, 30? He was 30 when he was
– Age 31 season.
Yeah. So, like, that's the thing. If he had committed to baseball out of high school or college – I think he would have been in the big leagues within like 5 years, maybe 4 or 5 years. But picking up baseball again for the first time in 12 years at 31 is a little bit tough. Well, but he did swipe 30 bags, and he hit 200 in fucking AA.
Yeah, the tough part about it is as the body is aging, you're trying to teach this body new muscle memory movements, right? You're trying to teach this body patterns at a time where muscle retention and just a lot of things physically are not working in your favor.
114 strikeouts in 497 plate appearances. That's a pretty robust strikeout rate for 1994.
How many walks though?
51. His on base, his walk rate was not terrible.
Right.
Is Manny Machado the right foundation piece for the Padres?
Fernando Tatis Jr. is.
Jinx, you owe me a fucking tasty cold beverage, Dell.
Manny Machado can be the right piece of a winning team and a guy you want to invest in, but not necessarily the franchise's best player on a World Series winner, right?
No, right. I think he's like the Mark Teixeira of the 2009 Yankees. It's like, yeah, we'll shell out money for the talent and the name, but is he going to be the guy that gets us to the top of the mountain? No. He can contribute, though.
Which team is more likely to pay for a top free agent, Pittsburgh or Cleveland?
I would say Cleveland. I know what I want to say.
It's definitely not the Pirates. It's just like it's by Cleveland. Process of elimination. I don't think it's Cleveland either, but it's definitely not the Pirates.
Yeah, I've got Cleveland over Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like Cleveland at least tried to get creative with the Encarnacion signing when they were like, we'll give you a base salary and we'll maybe give you like a fraction of the ticket sales if you come here. And he was like, sure, whatever.
Well, yeah, and I feel like even Cleveland just mildly addressing the fact that they're not going to shell out this kind of money almost puts them in a position where it's like, okay, but they could maybe spend this kind of money. Because you know Pittsburgh's not going to spend any fucking money. None.
Zero. $0.
According to MLB trade rumors, would you guys believe that the largest free agent contract given out by both of those teams is $60 million? Now, of course, the Indians came over a 3-year term with Edwin Encarnacion, and the Pirates came over a 6-year term with Jason Kendall. But the Pirates did come in 2000. $60 million was more money back then. But $60 million is the largest free agent deal either of those clubs has ever given out.
I can't believe that.
That's year one of the Garrett Cole contract.
Yeah. Imagine thinking that the Indians would even sniff what Francisco Lindor wants when the most money that they've given out in their franchise's history is the equivalent of the first year and two quarters of Garrett Cole's contract.
Yeah. I know I talk about this a lot, but remember, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when we're talking about AAV, and now here we are. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of – like, you can't even say that and it not be something that you can do the math on and be like, oh, my God, that's laughable. That is insane. Yeah. The Indians have never handed out a $60 million contract or anything more than $60 million, and Garrett Cole will make that by the end of year two.
Like, in my head, I'm thinking, as a Red Sox fan, big market fan – if the Red Sox signed someone to like $60 million contract, it'd be like, all right, cool. We got a number four starter.
No, you'd be like, oh, cool. We got a guy playing infield in Pawtucket.
Yeah. That was...
literally. Oh, he's an outfielder, you dick.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He's an outfielder. And Ivaldi's a relief pitcher, not a number four starter.
Yes.
Like Jared said, if you give me a chance, maybe you'll love me.
Oh, yeah. Fucking doubtful, but give him a chance.
Yeah, doubtful for sure. Below 50-50. But even the Athletics gave Chavez a $66 million contract. Again, that was over 6 years, but
How about the See, and think about that: 6 years, $66 million. Like, yeah. Come on, you're just putting it out in the universe. Mm-hmm. That's not a
final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I think this weekend I'm gonna try and do some courting, trying to get Blake Snell up in here.
There you go. Yeah, my final thoughts. Nice. It's really good to see the younger players or this generation, a la Blake Snell and some other guys, start to be a little more vocal about what's going on in the state of the game and the things that come up in the game. And it is a little disappointing to see some of the players that came before me, opinions that really don't back up the brethren, really don't back up the fraternity. That's horseshit, and it sucks, and I hate to think that my opinion would change of these guys, but it's just it's left a shitty taste in my mouth.
Justin,
there are some snickerdoodle cookies that are I think I got my name on it.
Later today. Oh, okay, all right. All right, have yourself a little fucking.
Have yourself a little Thursday, why don't you? How do you? A little? How do you do?
Save one for Wilbur and Orville.
Mm. Okay.